Chapter 3. A New Beginning. Cook's kitchen was heart and hearth of the safe house on Wellclose Square. Almost an entire wall was taken up by the sprawling, brass-bound behemoth of the Dreadnought patent range, a vast cast-iron oven at the centre of which was a grate containing a well-riddled pile of coals burning red-hot. The gas globes had not been lit, though outside it was long past dark, so the fire glow and a single candle at the centre of the great pine table were the only illumination. A lifetime of repeated scrubbing had whitened the deal tabletop so it reflected the candlelight up into the three faces gathered around it. Lucy Harker and Charlie Pyfinch, the newest recruits to the oversight, had been shown beds upstairs, where it was hoped they were restoring their energies and resting their minds after their journey to London and the consequent drama of the events that had greeted them on arrival. They were absent not merely because they were tired and bewildered. They were too new to be part of the conversation between the three remaining members of the last hand. The Smith sat with his fingers clasped round a tall pint mug full of spiced hot chocolate. His eyes were fixed on Cook and Hodge. Lit from below, his iron-hard eyes staring out from beneath a thunderous brow through the steam rising from the mug, he looked both still and catastrophically dangerous, as if he might start hurling lightning bolts at the slightest provocation. Cook had discarded her normal mob cap for the moment, and replaced it with a green spotted handkerchief that she wore sailor style, knotted at the back to keep her hair out of her way. This, coupled with the old scar that ran down her cheek, made her look more than usually like a pirate than a practitioner of the culinary arts. Despite this precaution, a rogue strand of grey blonde had escaped the bandana, and she kept having to blow it out of her eye as she worked steadily on the third member of the trio. Hodge looked neither dangerous nor piratical. He looked ruined. His face was speckled with black powder burns, some of which would now remain with him for life. He'd thrown himself in front of a gun to save his colleagues, and though the ball hadn't hit him as he deflected the barrel, the powder flash had burnt and tattooed his face, and worse than that, blinded him. He sat patiently as Cook very gently bathed his wounds with soft cloths and a warm decoction of her own devising, held in an earthenware bowl on the table in front of him. His terrier, Jed, sat on his lap, and allowed himself to be stroked, something the normally self-sufficient dog would not abide for more than a moment, preferring a short scratch behind the ears or, if the day's work was done, a longer...